Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome this morning to Blog Talk Radio. I tell you what, yesterday we were a little convoluted between technology and tropical storm Ida rolling to shore. We just got all mixed up. But I tell you what, we are back and live today, and we're going to jump right into it because I don't want to miss a beat. Today we're talking about taking risks and the fact that there's no other way to fail forward than to take risks. And I think what's so unique about this is something that Maxwell puts in his book. It's by Henry C. Link. It says, while one person hesitates because he feels inferior, the other is busy making mistakes and becoming superior. And when you analyze that for a minute, you realize that's exactly what happened. It doesn't matter who we can think of in the 20th and the 21st century, the time periods when most of us on this call have been alive. Everybody that's accomplished anything took a risk. You know, Sam Walton was running a Ben Franklin five and dime and didn't have his lease renewed. And what did we find from that? He went right down the street, opened a new store, and now Walmart seems to be on every street corner out there. Largest retailer in history. While he was taking risks, the people that ran Kmart, Woolworths, Ventures, Sears, JCPenney's, we're all setting back, taking it easy. At that time, Sears was the largest retailer in the world. Nobody thought they could dominate. Woolworths and Kmart were the two big discount chains. And since the 70s, we've seen the decline of Sears and Kmart. They actually both went bankrupt, came out of bankruptcy, merged together to become one store, and they still don't dominate what Walmart does. We look at Microsoft. Here's Bill Gates out here trying to make a small operating system called DOS, which stood for Dirty Operating System, wanted to get it out there in front of IBM. IBM didn't see what he was doing, didn't understand the magnitude. So instead of buying the software from him, they turned around and agreed to his licensing agreement, and they said, yeah, we'll give you so much per machine that we put this into. Today we see that Microsoft controls about 90% of the operating systems out there, about the same amount of it, a little less, about 80% when you come into browsers. It's amazing when you see where one company's willing to take risks. We move into the 21st century, I'm going to keep it into technology. We see Apple, a company that's had a nice little 7% of the computer market for years. They have about 100% of the market when it comes to animation and graphics and stuff like that. But out of the blue, one man's idea, as he put a team around him, and they said, hey, what about if we changed and revolutionized cell phones? Nobody's doing anything cool with cell phones. And in a matter of less than 3 years, they've been able to sell over 10 million cell phones, and millionaires have been made from risk because they'll create these little apps on these cell phones. And when I started looking at that, I just got more and more excited. I started focusing in on risk. And as I was reading this chapter in John's book, I realized that what he wrote in here, one of the things that he wrote that I think is so powerful, he said, risk must be elevated or must be evaluated not by fear it generates, but the probability of the success. It has to be weighed against the value of the goal. And those leaders that I just mentioned, every one of them had a goal. They wanted to change the world and make it better. They wanted to do something different. It wasn't about the money. Every one of those guys, when you read their history and you read their stories, you realize they never thought about it from a monetary standpoint. Sam Walton wanted to revolutionize the way people did their spending. He wanted to bring good, big stores to small, rural America and give them the same opportunity. Bill Gates just wanted to make computers where they'd be easy for everybody to use. Steve Jobs just likes being on the cutting edge of technology. He always tries to create something that makes somebody's life easier and more fun. A lot of people, when they looked at Steve, when he was doing this last thing with the iPhone, I saw critics that wrote, well, you know, it's just because he needs more money. This is a guy that was in the middle of a health issue that most of us would have freaked out on because his liver was all messed up and he needed a liver transplant. And in the middle of all that, going through all kinds of therapies, he's leading the charge of his creative team. That's what taking risks are about. You have to be able to look at where you're at in life. And it's funny, because as I was reading in John's book here, and I'm sitting here thinking of the last few days when you've got this unpredictable storm coming to shore. When you know that you're going to have a surge in the ocean by 3 to 5 feet, and when your island's typically only 3 to 5 feet above sea level, you get a little bit paranoid. You realize that the waves are going to be cresting at 23 feet, and you think, man, that's a risk that these people took. Because I'm driving down the beach and I'm looking at million-dollar homes, homes that even in the down economy are still worth seven figures, sitting on sand, wooden pillars driven into sand. And here comes this, I don't know, trillions and trillions of tons of water beating against the shoreline. And I thought, now here's people that had a goal. Their goal was to make their life a lot more enjoyable for their family. And they wanted a place on the beach where they could build a home and enjoy life. And it was worth the risk to them to do that. And then I started thinking backwards about the fact that, okay, for them to build that home, not only was that a risk, but they had to risk something somewhere along the way to be able to afford that home, which meant that their careers, for the most part, they had to start somewhere. And then as I went by some of the homes, and I know where politicians live, and I know where the musical people live, and the authors live, and I know where network marketers live that have these gigantic homes down here on the island, I started thinking and thought, man, how many people must have told them, you can't do that? How many people out there must have told them, well, not everybody becomes a rock star. Not everybody's smarter than a fifth grader. Not everybody is destined to write a famous novel. You know, all the negativisms that were in their lives, and yet they were the ones willing to take the risk. They were the ones that were willing to go out there and achieve more. John writes in his book, and I find this powerful. He said, to achieve any worthy goal, you must take risk. Write that down, because that's just a simple phrase. To achieve any worthy goal, you must take risks. We're not talking about going to Biloxi or going to Vegas or going to Atlantic City and rolling the dice. I had a good friend of mine that read every book, studied every major gambler, had this idea that if he flipped his wrist a certain way, if he had the dice on a certain number, if he could just... He thought it wasn't risk. He thought he was going to beat the house every time. And he would lose in a weekend more than most of us make in a lifetime. And I'm talking about seven figures a weekend. He would leave Destin, Florida with anywhere from $100,000 to $500,000 in his hands, with the goal of coming back with millions. And the sad thing, this is truly sad, is that at the end, when it was all said and done, he'd won millions and he'd lost millions. But then he lost his home and he lost his cars and he lost his business and he owed Uncle Sam millions of dollars in taxes. And as we were sitting at the International House of Pancake one day, and he was reading to me his memoirs, he said, Troy, gambling and playing craps, there's no risk. It's all luck. It's all the you just, wherever the dice fall, they fall. The odds are against you. The house is always going to win. They're going to take it from you. And he goes, I think the most interesting part, he goes, of my experience was that when I was winning, all my friends were around me. He goes, I'd give people thousands of dollars to play with me that they'd never had. And people left there with $15,000, $20,000, and they thought they were rich. He goes, but when I turned and my luck would turn and I'd start to lose, little by little by little, the only two people left at the table were me and the guy in charge of the dice. And I thought, man, isn't that how life is? We're out here wanting to take risks. We're out here wanting to build our business. We're out here wanting to change the world, and yet Most people around us are not going to be that way. And folks, this is a small phrase that I learned a long time ago from Art Williams, and you may have to put it to use sometimes. But if you can't change the people around you, then change the people around you. Because if all you're doing is hanging out with dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies, and they can't see that the glass is half full and there's more water being added to it, then you need to get out of that. Because I guarantee you that old adage that your mom and dad used to tell you, that you end up like the people you hang around, is a true statement. You do not want to hang around dull, negative, disillusioned people at all. Never. You got to get out of that. And that's what we've been looking at and what we're talking about in failing forward. You know, when I flip this book closed and I look back, it says, turning mistakes into stepping stones for success. And I think, wow, that's great. So what we've got to do, if you don't get anything else out of this call today, I want you to analyze this for a second. Look at your goal. Look at what you're trying to achieve right now. Look at the objective that you have. And then ask yourself, is this goal, is this objective, is this object, whatever it is you're going after, is it worth the risks involved? Now let's look at that for a second.
Hey, buddy. There you are. Let me interject one thing real quick, because you've been on such a powerful roll. I didn't want to interrupt you, but there's something to be said for the power of a simple question. You know, we, for those of us that have been around the industry for a while, what I'm about to say is going to come as no surprise. But if a person's new to the industry or has never heard this, this is going to be a profound eye-opening question. Because as you're presenting an opportunity to someone, one of the expressions that I learned many, many years ago, and I don't remember exactly who I learned it from because we've had so many good mentors over the years, but it's probably an original Jim Rohn or Art Williams, or, you know, it could have been something coined from Dexter Yeager. I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I do know about this industry is there have been very few original ideas over the years, but they've been restated by different people with different emphasis on the syllables in such a way that they resonate differently with different people. And when you're asking a person if they may want to find a way, you know, if there was a way, as an example, to create an additional income stream in their life without interfering with what they're presently doing, just by sharing their opinion about a company, product, service, or opportunity, you know, would that be something that they'd be interested in? And they say, well, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, I'm really busy. And they say, you know, well, if I'm wrong, it may have cost you 15 to 30 minutes. But what if I'm right? And what if the possibilities of the real risk aren't getting involved, but not getting involved? What do you stand to lose by not making a decision? That's the real question you got to ask yourself.
You know, that's pretty deep when you actually think about it, because it goes back to something that we could actually parlay into that, Jim. And when a person asks that question, it causes the recipient of the question to have to dig inside and say, okay, what am I after? What is my true outlook? What is it I want to achieve? And if this is the vehicle to help me achieve it, then I need to give it a little bit better look than just being placé and saying, I'm not interested, just because of, well, what would other people say? What would other people think? And I think it's those limiting beliefs, it's those traps that we get ourselves into that cause us to say, no, I'm not interested in that, before we ever even realize what it's about.
You know, one of the most eye-opening statements that I heard a trainer do was, there's two sides to this. One was in a presentation by Bob Proctor, and I'm sure almost everybody knows who Bob Proctor is. If you don't, he's the gentleman in the white coat from The Secret. And the other one is Jim Rohn. And I'm going to touch first on the comment from Bob Proctor. What if your annual income suddenly became your monthly income. What would you risk to make that happen, to change the quality of life for your family and yourself? What would you be willing to do to make something like that happen? And would the real risk be not taking a risk on yourself and foregoing the opportunity for your annual income to suddenly become your monthly income and depriving your family of the opportunity to live that lifestyle? And the second one comes from Jim Rohn when he talks about how many people will there really be that will cry at your funeral? Because we spend so much time, Troy, absorbed in worrying about what others might think, what others might say, what others might believe, that it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The truth is, most of those people aren't even going to matter. Go ahead.
You're 100% right there. And it's sad, but I think what happens is people fall into these traps, and John writes about those. And as you were sharing that, I flipped these pages so I could get to them, because I thought, man, this is these two traps that came to mind as you were talking is the one that he calls the rationalization trap and the unrealistic expectation trap. And I think when people are hearing something in their mind, because of the so much crap that they've been given over the years of you can't do that or you're probably not gonna or whatever the negative is, that they start to rationalize and they say, oh, that's probably not gonna be me. That, you know, it won't work for me, or how could I ever think that my annual income could become my monthly income? I mean, I've got all this stuff I have to do. I can't even remember to take the trash out in the morning. And we're so full of garbage that we don't realize. I mean, I think this is purely a subliminal thing. We don't even realize that we're trying to talk ourselves out of taking and finding the vehicle to help us achieve that goal that we have in our mind. Because I don't even think we see it as a goal. I don't even think we see them as objectives most of the time. And that's why there's so many people that are just that one little fragment from going full-time in network marketing or owning their own business or whatever they're doing, because they sit there and they look at it and they say, nah, probably won't happen. Nah, that sounds good, but it's always somebody else. And if they could get off of that fallacy, if they could get those limiting beliefs behind them and surround themselves with the right people and realize, okay, I need to make this a goal. I need to make this my objective instead of a resolution. Because I think so many times people just write down resolutions and they know they're never going to accomplish them, but they do it because they want to be part of the masses. And I think in network marketing what you're saying is so true, but I think people don't get it, Jimmy, because they sit there and they say, well, I'll be part of the pack, and I'll turn in my goal sheet and I'll turn in my list of people, but I'm really probably not going to do anything with them. And instead of failing forward, instead of taking the risk, they placate people. And they sit there and they totally self-sabotage their own journey towards success that they deserve.
You know, Troy, the most powerful part of the process begins with believing in ourselves. And I think, unfortunately, our society over the years has become, thanks to the internet, you know, blame the internet. Thanks to the big rectangular box that's in the center of the living room in everyone's home, that we've become programmable sheep. And as a result of that, we follow the trends and do what that box tells us and dictates more often than anything else. And that, my friend, is truly, truly depressing when you think about it.
Oh, okay. Big time.
You know, think about it in this possibility. What if I actually took a risk and believed in myself, had faith in the fact that this person who is already doing this, you know, hey, let me stop right there, because this reminds me of a conversation that I had one time with a very good friend of ours, Tom Chenault. And, you know, I was watching Tom actually having a conversation with a young man who was very new to the industry, and was telling him how, you know, the people that he had talked to, they'd been very doubting, and he was having trouble finding any rationality whatsoever, you know, the ability to believe and move forward within his own business. And that tentativeness in his own mind was paralyzing him. Well, Tom looked at this young man and he said, let me ask you this. These people who you're taking this advice from, are any of them making over $20,000 a month in network marketing? Are any of them making over $50,000 a month in network marketing? And the young man says, well, of course not. You know, there's none of them are. He says, well, then, if they don't have any knowledge base and experience with what it takes to do that, if you want to have their lifestyle, buy their advice. Because anytime you buy someone's advice, along with their advice, you buy their income and lifestyle. If you want to have what I have, then I'd suggest you listen to me. And you, too, can have what I have. But it all starts with taking a risk in believing in the person who's your mentor, and more importantly, believing in yourself.
See, that's it right there. Because if people don't believe in themselves, and it's hard sometimes for new people to understand this, it's not what you know. It's not the words you use. It's the body language and the confidence in which you portray what you're saying. And if people come across in this tentative manner, in this, well, I'm not sure if this is right, and they fall susceptible to every other person in their life that's not making it, then they end up not being able to fulfill what that destiny is. They never accomplish. And the sad thing is, and this is what I've always looked at, I'm gonna take this back to something you said about people crying at your funeral. The last thing that I want is people crying at my funeral saying he could have been whatever. I want them crying at my funeral and saying he left a legacy. And that's something that anybody on this call today needs to analyze and think about. Because it's what you leave behind that's gonna carry on. And I'm a weird individual because I just watch strange stuff on TV, Jimmy, when I watch TV, and I like to watch the Rural Farm Network, and I was watching that last night, and it got me thinking about today's call, because they were interviewing a cowboy who his family has owned the same ranch for 136 years, and it's a working ranch. I mean, they got cattle and crops, and they're well known throughout the world and in the cowboy beef and all that good stuff. And he's sharing, the interviewer said, what is your biggest hurdle that you have to overcome, you and your family? Because there's like six of these kids that are running this now. And he said, our biggest hurdle is being able to carry on the legacy that our great-great-grandpa started over 100 years ago. He goes, that's what our hurdle is. Our hurdle is be able to make sure that there's enough money to pay the estate tax, to make sure that we can carry on. He goes, we never worry about the climate. We never worry about the economy. All we care about is, can we carry on our legacy? And folks, as I was listening to that, it made me realize, whether it's little Cameron in the background, whether it's Jetty, whether it's one of our older kids, the one thing Jimmy and I always strive to do is figure out, how can we leave the legacy? How can we make sure that what we say and the values that we portray and the dreams and the goals that we have, even if we're not there yet when the good Lord calls us home, that our kids understand it wasn't about the destination. It was about the journey going forward. It was about slipping up and failing and moving on and stumbling and getting bruised and getting knocked down and standing back up and moving forward. And folks, when you can get that, when you don't fall into all these traps of being embarrassed or overanalyzing or doing whatever, self-sabotage that, when you can overcome that and you say, I'm going to take the risk, and it can start out as a little risk, man. It doesn't have to be something huge. It can be a little risk, but you have to be willing to take little risks and able to take great risks and able to change your little part of the world so that somebody in your family may be able to go out there and change the bigger part of the world. And even though I disagree 100% so far with the ideology of our president right now, I can guarantee you when he decided to run that there were people around him that were saying, why the heck would you do that? I mean, you just became a senator. You don't know anything. I mean, you got all these guys with all this money and stuff. You know, what the heck are you thinking about? You got all this baggage. And even though I disagree with the ideology, I support the fact that here's somebody that was basically a well unknown person, you know, outside of Illinois, who said, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to move this thing forward. I'm going to do it. And that, I think, is something that all Americans should look at and say to themselves, well, if he can do it, I know I can. And I know if Troy can do it, I know I can. If Jimmy can do it, I know. Folks, anybody can do what they set their mind to do if it's truly an objective that they believe in, that they're willing to take the risks for. And if you don't, then you're just going to keep going in circles. You're not ever going to reach your risk, and you're not ever going to reach that goal. I can just picture Jimmy, you know, if his goal was to teach other pilots, he knew that before he could do that, he had to go out and learn how to fly a doggone helicopter himself, because you can't teach somebody something that you haven't lived through yourself. Am I not correct on that part, Jimmy?
Oh, you just said a mouthful. I mean, I'm a firm believer, have been for years. No one can teach something that they don't know or understand themselves. You know, there is so much involved with the one simple word, risk. But to understand the power of risk, the first thing we have to do is understand the definition of success. And Webster's defines success as the progressive realization of a worthwhile dream or goal. Now, we've all heard the expression, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. There's risk involved in anything worth achieving. If we look at all the gold medal winning athletes from the Olympics, and I'll go so far back as Jesse Owens in the Berlin Olympics in the Hitler era, there was a man who epitomized everything that the host country was in opposition to. Talk about taking a risk coming in there and then not being afraid. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this. not being afraid to give your all and to dominate the games in such a manner that he did. He was risking his very life by performing there as an athlete. There's, you know, one of the profound truths that we know in life is that our time, our friendship, is the greatest gift that we can give to anyone. And, you know, quite honestly, I added a quote to my Facebook page last night that said, our children and our grandchildren are the greatest gift the Lord has to offer us, because it's through their eyes that we see the unconditional love that is bestowed upon us.
You know what? That's 100% correct. And it's matter of fact, looking at what you just said, I want folks to understand there are also certain risks that you never want to take, no matter how calculated you think it is. Folks, going out there and having an affair, going out there and screwing up the trust that the loved ones in you have, it's not worth the risk. So even though America may have commercials on TV saying it's okay and we may see some propaganda, I'm telling you right now, your family and the legacy you leave them is the greatest thing that you have when you leave. Folks, join us tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.